Okay, Apostle Thompson, it's your floor, sir.
Okay, greeting and peace to all of you today. There's a lot of things that I have to cover this morning. Remember that it's not teaching session. This is a section to impart some things to you. You remember in Jeremiah 1:10, it says things had to be pulled down and replant and rebuild. And I think one of the major problems that the church is suffering from is not understanding the fivefold ministry gift. Let me read something to you. You know, we had Ephesians 4:11 where it talks about the gifts, and it tells us the gift is to mature the church. And there's two barriers seriously impeding the church pursuit of scripture divine order. There are misunderstanding of the role, title, offices, function, and gifting found in God's structure. That's what I'm going to deal with this morning. The restoration of the apostolic prophetic authority over his church, that's a subject of title defunction. So we have a humanistic order have been set up. I'll start giving you point after point in a few moments. But these titles have gotten mixed up in functioning, and therefore there's a disorder, a humanistic disorder in organization. For instance, a bishop is actually a pastor. He's no more than a pastor. Now, some think that bishop are high office, but they're really not scripture-wise. When you read about the bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's dealing with a pastor or overseer. And then the Catholic Church took the apostolic revelation, in a sense, or apostolic order of God, and tried to make priests and archbishop and different people out of it, but they're really not in the apostolic order. Now, we're complete out of the apostolic order, I tell you right now. And that's one of the things that's causing us to be dysfunction in the spirit realm. I'm going to try to bring us back to divine order so we can see it. I've been a pastor 40-something years, and I hadn't seen this, really. I might have been operating in some of them. Some of y'all might have been operating in it. But the reason that we have problem getting people to follow orders is because so many don't understand ranks. In the Ephesians 6:12, we talk about the principality and power and spirit of wickedness. Demonic forces know their rank. That's why they're so strong and so powerful. And what Satan did, he disordered the church the way God has set it up and started using other names and titles, and different people think they're in such great power when they should be flowing together. And when they flow together, they really are powerful. So some of the things that I'm going to share with you in this section, you can look at Jeremiah 1:10, I think it is, and you look at 1 Corinthians 12:28, Ephesians 4:11. I'll give some foundation, but I'm not going to try to preach to you. I'm just going to impart these things. Let's begin with the apostle's mantle is the only one that penned the New Testament. The apostle mantle is the only one that pens the New Testament. That means the apostle instituted church government and canonized scripture for the church. All right? Now, that's not known. That's not in our organizational structure. We don't have respect for that because we didn't know what it was. The implication of that revelation and its effect ripple throughout the church world, and they are staggering. When you go to organize like we are aiming to organize here, back to the original plan of God, a lot of churches, now I got 82 churches under me here, a lot of churches going to take wings and begin to flow. The problem that we're going to have in doing this is pastors hard-headed, and ministers are hard-headed, and they think somebody's trying to take something from them. Now, you all got to know me and know that I'm for you and I'm not against you. But there are going to be some correction. There are going to be some direction. There have to be some changes made. Don't think regular. Don't think even whoever you can from under. Don't think that way. There's degrees of promotion that is coming alive. I sense it in the spirit realm. And we'll have to cooperate in order for that function to flow through us. Considering what is distilled today as church doctrine was manufactured without God, apostles, and prophets. Listen to that statement. Considering what is distilled today as church doctrine was manufactured without God's apostles and prophets, and that's why it's all based. Whose wisdom upon watch this now, the apostle and prophet. Now, you look at Ephesians 2:20 through Ephesians chapter 3 through 1 through 5. Ephesians 2:20, I'm just going to read the 20th verse, but actually the Holy Spirit showed me to go through Ephesians 3 to verse 5, and then you can go further, but I just want to show you what it's showing, because verse 20 says, let me read verse 19. Now therefore, Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation. That word is very strong, because I start thinking about that. I know I have two cement finishers on the line. Men know that if the foundation not right, the building not going to be right. I also know that, probably more, but I also know I have three accountants, one, two, three, I know of, on the line, probably more than that. And so they'll know that the figure's not right, the calculation not going to come out right. And that's all I'm aiming to do. I think we can get great strength and a great leap if we only humble ourselves, you know, and honor the truth, and begin to set our ministry free. And if you got 20 people, you got 3,000 people, will set them free, and it will set you free in your ministry. Build on a proper foundation, in other words. And that's what I'm aiming to do now as your apostle. I'm studying, I'm investigating, I'm praying. I've been up since 4:15 this morning, getting ready to talk to you about this day, praying and searching the heavens about this. Now, so so if the church is not built, if the ministry gifts are not in divine order, and the satanic gifts, I'm going to say it like that, are in divine order, that's why we're losing. Now, at large, the church is losing. We're not winning. We're losing. We're not as effective or perfected as we want. Say, for instance, I want to correct something here. Now, I had a man invite one of the ladies out to lunch. You're a married man. You cannot do that. Then you invite her to have somebody call to invite you to be your partner. I'm not going to call your name this time. But I don't want no playing around in the circle. I'm not going to have it. These whoremongering spirit cannot come among us. We're not going to have it. We're not going to die in line. We're not going to disrespect our women. We're not going to disrespect our men. We're not going to disrespect our office. So we ain't playing no game here. So now if you think it's a game, I want you to go ahead and give your resignation goodbye, because I will break your leg. So when you're all around each other, I'm going off in it. When you're all around each other, you all treat each other cordially. Ain't no sex factor here. It's ministers of the gospel. We ain't going to get no room for no women. We ain't going to get no room for no men. We're not playing this right now. There's another man that told you, listen to my three-generation salvation message. I want you to listen to them within the next 6 days. If you don't, it's going to be disciplinary action, because you got a problem with pornography. You need to get that straight. We got to get all this crap straight. That's the only way we're going to have a wholesome, consecrated, anointed organization. When we come together as men and women of God. We ain't come from no swap, no pulpit, and we ain't come from swapping no women or men. We don't come for that. Now, let me get back to my lesson, because that just come up. We need to deal with that. You know who I'm talking to. Don't do that no more. All right, now. For instance, in regard to the latter two offices, let me go back. I want to get back and get something now. Wait a minute. And let me fumble through this. Considering what is distilled today as church doctrine, what manufactured without God, apostle, and prophet, whose wisdom upon which rested church foundation, indeed the whole of the Judeo-Christian theology. In other words, this apostle and prophet, according to Ephesians, that's what I read. I got called off on this discipline action. Back to Ephesians 2:19. I don't care how it sounded, man. I'm just going to fumble around. I got to get this thing out. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, my, coming up again. I said in my church many years ago, if anybody going to run around with these women, I'm going to run around with them. And I ain't running around with them, so nobody else running around with them. Yeah, bro, I brought that out 25 years ago, and I have not in my 47 years of ministry. I got daughters, I got sisters, and I got mothers. I don't have nobody else. All right, now, in verse 20, and are built up on the foundation. That word foundation is important, of the apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So there's that foundational gifts of the apostle and prophet that have been set aside. Now, if you look in Ephesians 3:5, the apostle Paul is talking, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed, notice now the two, unto his holy apostles and prophet by the Spirit. So you keep hearing those two names, the apostle and the prophet, because they are foundational ministry, and they have a foundational wisdom that is so important to us. In a moment, in this session, you're going to find out that the pastor been put out of position. I'm a pastor, but the pastor been put out of position because pastoring alone is not proper doctrine. The pastor, now, the letters to Timothy and Titus, they name them pastoral letters, but they can't prove that in the Bible. That's Apostle Paul, the apostle, revealing to them how the church should go. If you look in Acts chapter 28, verse 28, they take heed to yourself to all the flock which the Holy Ghost had made you overseer. The Apostle Paul is telling the pastor how to strengthen himself, get ready, wolves coming in, and what to do about it. So if you go back and reread it, you know, I've been a Baptist, you know, I've been a Catholic, I've seen all the archaic, the rules, you know, top people. And so this is just a thrill to me to really see the reality and what's causing the church to be crippled, and able to impart to you how we can get back on base and how we can get back on not saying, you know, what about my ministry? My ministry just is more as much as the apostle ministry. No, it's not. You see, that just you got your fruit. What your fruits are, and so we have to come into a submissive period and an honorable period that God can impart to our hearts and impart to our mind and impart to our soul the truth, and then we can face the enemy in the truth. When you face the enemy in the truth, he has nowhere to go because you are in authority over him. That's why I want to keep studying this. For instance, in regard to the latter, that the two officers responsible for receiving God's revelation of church doctrine has been ignored in the calling of ministry council, and organization of principle is disturbing. Let me read that again now. Because of the apostle, the absence of the apostle and the prophet, who are foundational ministers, the pastor and the teacher, they came in later. The pastor and the teacher didn't have nothing to do if the apostle wouldn't have called the people in the church. You look in the book of Acts, they wouldn't have had no member. So the apostle Paul dealt with them and told them how to handle the thing because they're receiving right from heaven, and then the pastor can move in his role. I'll tell you some more about that later. But let me read this to you again. In regard to the latter, that the two officers responsible for receiving God's revelation of church doctrine have been ignored in the calling of ministry council and organization of principle is disturbing. It is so disturbing because the Ephesians 6:12, the demonical ranks are organized, and then the Ephesians 1 Corinthians 12:28, 29, the divine ranks are disorganized. Ephesians 4:11. So that's why we don't have Ephesians 4:12, 13, 14. That's why the church is not maturing, because the two foundational offices are really not understood and that the enemy have given us substitute and give us towers without the fruit, without the manifestation, without the wisdom to help us when we need divine assistance from our brother or sister, whoever walking in the office. So so it's been ignored. Now, so in the New Testament, has no pastor or evangelist contributed to its writing, especially the epistles that are written. That Timothy and Titus are two epistles that deal with church and shepherding may be dubbed pastoral books as a stretch, since the author giving the counsel and imparting the wisdom is the Apostle Paul. Now, church history, church identity, people write for years until I began to investigate and search. You know, I thought that was the pastoral epistle. They really are pastoral, but it was implemented by the Apostle Paul. Okay, now, otherwise, no epistle writing are attributed to pastors or evangelists, but only to apostles. If the mantle of the pastor and evangelist, nor the teacher for that matter, never received the revelation of the church or its structure. Wow, that's heavy, heavy. And that's cutting me too, you know what I'm saying? Look what it says. If the mantle of the pastor and evangelist, nor the teacher, for that matter, never received the revelation of the church or its instruction. Now, you go back over the Bible, all you're going to see is apostolic and prophetic, given the structure of the church, apostolic and prophetic. And see, we leave that out. I know that's false. I know we've seen some false things and people claiming to be something and become something else, but we can't stop that. But when God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, began to reveal to us how this thing really goes, and it's not about who high and who low. It's about God's divine order. That's the way God set the thing. It's like an army. It's ranks that God has set up in the spirit realm for a specific reason. Not for somebody to lord over nobody, but to be a brother, a sister that help and carry that gift, carry that anointing, carry that wisdom, carry that revelation, carry that love, carry that concern, willing to protect, willing to correct, willing to lose their life for your life, lose friendship, lose partnership, whatever it is take, but just tell you the truth, man, so you can know the truth, so you can see what holding your ministry back, what's hindering you. You know, we always talk about it's not in suits, it's not in cars, it's not in diamond ring. We know that. And so what we want to build LTMA on is a revelation relationship, a revelation fellowship that we can see grow, and we can see Satan put in his place. He's not going to be put in his place. Listen to me very well. Satan not going to be put in his place unless we get the ranks of our authority in order. In doing that, my brothers and sisters, we're not going to have no problem. But there's a lot of things we have learned that we have to overlearn. A lot of thoughts we have in the spirit realm, we got to check those thoughts with the Holy Spirit. And that's my job as your leader to bring this before you. Now, I'll say this with all the humbleness as I can, is very few organizations doing this. There are some there, but very few. And over in the Western world where we at, I've probably been in ministry as long or more than any of you all, and I've been searching for all the 42 years that I've been in Christ. I've been searching, and I have not found this type of instruction as of yet until I started investigating. All right, now, if the mantle of the pastor and evangelist, nor the teacher for that matter, never received the revelation of the church or its structure, how are they able to define and govern it today on their own? Wow. See, now this Bible, you can go back to your Bible. You go back to your Bible. We can't shake this up. The Bible won't shake this up because this is the Bible. So here's the question. If the mantle of the pastor and evangelist, nor the teacher, for that matter, never received the revelation of the church or its structure, see, the church is a revelation of the church, then there's a structure of the church, how are they able to define and govern it today on their own? No way. They can't do it. And that's, at large, what we've been trying to do, including myself. God's apostle and prophet, the first two in the divine lineage of new creation church ministers. if history is not to repeat itself and to avoid landing in this place again as a church, it behooves today's apostles and prophets to step up and define themselves clearly for their time and the future. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing. I'm stepping up. And, you know, you all are submitted. You've joined LTMA. We'll check you out. I hope you last, because you're going to get stronger and stronger, and it might mess with some of the little ideas we've had in the past. Now, as you're getting chopped, I'm getting chopped. As you're getting corrected, I'm getting corrected, all right? Now, let's look at the difference between 1 Corinthians 12, 28-29 and Ephesians 4:11. They're both talking about the fivefold ministry gift. And Ephesians 4:11 list was penned 5 to 10 years after the Corinthian reference is significant. Okay? You're going to find out some things about that. So Ephesians 4:11 is talking about the same gifts, but at a different time. It's 10 years later. It could be that the church growth compelled the emergency of the evangelist and pastor as standing functions in the church. But as it spread in the world, Paul's rearticulation of the church leadership became necessary. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 20-29, God said, now watch what he said, God said, appointed, ordained, installed, first apostle, second prophet, and third teacher. Now in Ephesians 4:11, where it says, he, Christ, gave, presented, granted, bestowed, provided some with apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, here's the difference. But a bestowed gift, as opposed to an ordained appointment, draws the dividing line. See, in 1 Corinthians 12, it was divine appointment. But in Ephesians 4:11, it was bestowed gift 10 years later. So, but a bestowed gift as opposed to an ordained appointment draws a dividing line. Installation, appointment, ordination. Bestow are dealing with gifts that Christ gave to men, not the ordained installation of an official that the Corinthian is referring to. Just listen to me. Bear with me. Gifts are far from what the word ordained or preordained convey. These are all terms that have little to do with gifts, bestow, endowment, or anything of the kind. Notice the prefix pre in front speak to sovereignty as the creator, prerogative, and perpetual will. Words like predestined, preordained, preappointed, predetermined. These words were understood to mean for ordained by decree or purpose of God. Now, let's just go to some there. Maybe I just read that and you heard it. Let's see if we make some sense out of this. God's sovereign move to inspire his restoration on his church organization after centuries of humanistic disorder. Make note of that. Mm-hmm. Humanistic disorder. Mm-hmm. Significant in the church, present disorder is the absence of Christ's apostle and prophet, the founding officers of the church. Now, if we understand this, and if we can recognize, we'll get a definition of apostle. One of the definitions of apostle, it turned out to be a principality. That'll rock your boat, boy, because if Satan has satanic angels as principalities, God has principalities. God has prince. He called Jesus the Prince of Peace. And when I saw that, it was shocking to me when I did the investigation and found out that God have, just like the Ephesians 6:12, you're talking about principalities and power and spirit of wicked and rule of darkness. Everything that they say in that lineup, God got the opposite of it. And we're trying to get down to it. Now, here's what's going to happen with us. And this happened to mankind. This is going to happen to the body of Christ. The founding officer of the church, the apostle and prophet, all right? And he wrote it three times, like it's Ephesians 2:20, 1 Corinthians 12:28, Ephesians 4:11. He got them in order, divine order. God's restoration initiative have already disturbed, give me some time, I don't know how long I've been teaching. I've still been talking, not teaching. God Restoration Initiative have already disturbed some church leaders and confused some of its members as well. So now, we have to have wisdom here. You don't want to go throw nothing down your members' throat and your ministers who are under you. Just take your time. First, begin to function in that capacity. I think we are a function in that capacity because our ministers, you both are the apostolic and the prophetic. I ministered out of both of them because that's why I read Jeremiah this morning about tearing down, you know, pulling down, destroying, and rebuilding because that's what we're doing. Then I went over the apostolic. God has set some in the church. First apostle, prophet, then teaching. All right, now, also in Ephesians 4:11 staff, listen to what he said. In Ephesians 4:11 staff is the erroneous laboring of the false member. Now, this is heavy, heavy thing over here. The false member is the pastor. And you see, because of misalignment, always misalignment is going to bring disagreement. disagreement. So the pastor and the evangelist has been running the church. Mm-hmm. And that's a no-no. It's impossible for that to happen. Now, one of the reasons is, because I've been a pastor, we were void of apostles, void of prophets, genuine one. You know, we don't want nobody to just come take our church over and to say they're such a high office. We want them to gift it and gift it and gift in us and pass on anointing to us out of their heart what God had put in their heart and love us and respect us. That's what we want. See, I'm a pastor, so I can talk. I'm a pastor, and I did some evangelist work, so I understand the office, okay? Now, just keep listening to me. So God Restoration Initiative, in other words, God trying to get his foundation back right, have already disturbed some church leaders and confused some of its members as well because they're so used to the old way. Now you know we had a zone that came through and it was making a lot of bishop. Most of y'all who was made bishop is already a bishop. If you're a pastor, you're a bishop, you're an overseer. That's the same thing, overseer, bishop. And they made it as if some high-ranking office, but it's not in the fivefold ministry gift. And so, you know, I had to deal with the apostle. Now I'm dealing with the bishop and the pastor because I'm about to say some things here now. And also in Ephesians 4:11 staff is the erroneous laboring of the false member, the pastor, as the New Testament church primary head. He's not the primary head of the church. You go back to Ephesians 2:20. Who he say build the church on? The apostle, the prophet, and Jesus Christ is the head of the church, chief cornerstone. But he got that apostle and prophet because he called them out to give them the heaven and earth structure that, and he made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. So this is a hard pill to swallow for us pastors, but this is why our pastoring has not been as effective as it could be. And even so, many of y'all have great success, but yet you haven't seen the success that you're going to have because your real gift is going to be released as you handle it properly. We have seen some already with the little bit I know about apostleship. We have seen some, I've talked to some of the men and some of the women, and changes have come in their life and their ministry already because all we're doing is, it's not about Leroy. It's about divine order. I just happen to be in this spot. God just happened to place us together, just happened to get the 12 to travel with me like Jesus had 12 apostles. You know, I'm just trying to follow the Spirit of God as much as I can. And when I come into your church, I'm trying to help you as much as I can and help your people. So the pastor as the New Testament church primary head for which there is just no biblical precedent or scripture pattern in the New Testament. You can't find that. Now, you know, once on myself, my order would have been, I'd run to Acts 20 and 28. But then I lost that because now I got to take the whole context of the scripture. The Apostle Paul was giving the pastor order. Mm-hmm. He was telling the pastor how to protect himself. Mm-hmm. He was looking out for the pastor. He was seeing some things the pastor might not have seen at that time. And then I had my other argument because I know when I went to school and studied Hummer, hermeneutic, interpreting the scripture, and homiletic, how to preach and all that stuff, you know, and different theories and different theology, you know, that the epistle was the pastoral epistle. Is Paul teaching the pastors how to pastor? We know this Pauline epistle. Now, open your eyes now. I want y'all to see that. Some of y'all have been in ministry a long time. Then, if we, as I asked a young man who on the line is a colonel, I asked him, the only point over him is a general. The captain, everybody else under the colonel. And so they got to follow orders. And this is a spiritual battle we in, and Satan wants to mess our rank up. That's why you have to have confidence in the person who over you. You have to have confidence in the 12.
Yeah.
You don't have if I appoint them as delegated authority, you don't need to talk to me. You talk to them. Let them talk to me. And then if I sense that I need to talk to you, I'll talk to you. But that's authority. That's leaving me free to do what I do. So that's where we got to work. And we've been doing pretty good with that, but we got to do better. We're going to get better and better and better and better. All right. So widely accepted is the misconception that schools, Bible college, and Christian universities all blindly endorse it. The pastor is way down the line. Actually, the number four on the staff with a misprint that is obvious. He is easy to see how the arrow took hold and got out of line. Now, that's not deep. That's not disparagingly talking about a pastor, but we're talking about how to get this foundation right and get this thing moving without creating a cult. You know, first thing you hear is a cult. No. It's divine order. Satan wants us to say it's a cult. Satan don't want us to have respect and honor one another as we should. Satan don't want that. He the one causing split and division among ministers. The Bible is clear. The Word of God is clear. The Holy Spirit is clear. This thing is line up, and the Lord said over and over again, brothers and sisters, my eyes have been open. All the years I went, I hadn't seen this. But my eyes are being open. I did pretty good, but I know I could have done better. Now, I had a prophet over me, you know what I'm saying? But I could have done better if I knew all this, what you're learning now. All right. The pastor's way down the line. Actually, number four on the staff. Let me go to the next one. Especially when extra biblical texts are studied more than scripture. See, we got to study the scripture. We got to line up with the Word of God, see. Scripture places the pastor full in God's line of new creation church ministers, and not third, and certainly not first. Nonetheless, an entire multi-century institution was built up on the arrow. Apostles and prophets are passed, and the pastor occupied their stead with bishop replacing apostles in church leadership. Why? She didn't know. I cast it out to ignorance. But let's go back to the and I say we may have two seamen fellowship we got on the line, Corn Creek men, the accountants we have on the line. If you don't have it right, there's no excuse. It's just not right. And so I think we're running into a dilemma of following orders, apostolic orders. When the apostles say something, people don't want to follow the orders. I ain't doing that. They'll do what they want to do. And you cannot be under apostle with that attitude. You cannot be under prophet with that attitude. You cannot be under delegated authority with that attitude. That's the only way you can be helped. And I'm not wasting my time no more. You know, if you ain't ready to go, you ain't ready to flow. You know, I'm going to spend a lot of time in ministry. I'm not going to ever retire. But I'm a man in my 60s now, and I'm working in the heyday of my ministry, and I ain't wasting my time with nobody else no more. I'll try to help you, you know. Now, when the pastor, and sometimes the pastor didn't have no choice. Now, like I said, I'm talking to myself. It don't know the apostle is not there, the prophet is not there, or he construed the idea that you don't need no apostle, you don't need no prophet. Then you come, there's a bishop over you. A bishop is not an overseer over the five, 4 minutes of gift. Where did it come from? He's not. Find that in the scripture. Find it. It's not in the scripture, but you can find the apostle and the prophet all the time. So that's man-made organization. These guys are hierarchy, calling themselves bishop and think they, but they're not. They're not. It's the apostle and the prophet, if you want to use it in that dimension, and then pastor and a teacher and an evangelist that is glued into this become apostolic. Wow, become apostolic. Wearing the same anointing, having the same conviction, preaching the same way, teaching the same way, operating in the gifts the same way. That's divine order. That's what God had designed for us. So the Lord, by his Spirit, moved Paul to list the apostle and prophet as God's first officers three times in the two letters. It's significant and a sure indication that his apostle to the Gentile meant what he wrote and was convinced it came from the Lord himself. Listing the first three officers in Ephesians 4:11 as apostle, prophet, and evangelist is or should be considered significant. For God, it was evidently deliberate, especially when 1 Corinthians 12:28-29 say nothing about the evangelist or the pastor, which should be seen as noteworthy. Now, I know we say when the gifts and all that, we looked at them, I did that too, but the name not mentioned. One reason Paul chose this order is that the apostle and prophet, now listen to this very close. How long have I been the ministry, boy? One reason Paul chose this order is that the apostle and prophet are foundational officers. The pastor work, however, began entirely different. For instance, pastors' ministry do not start until apostles and evangelists have been successful. Did you hear that? Pastors didn't have no ministry until Paul and them come along and got it rolling from that first tier. We always talk about tier, from that first bracket, from that first level. Good God Almighty. See, we get an understanding of this, brethren and sisters. We get an understanding. We're gonna flow and fly from level to level. For instance, pastor ministry do not start until apostle and it has been successful. Once the following together enter the church, the pastor mantle is activated. Okay? Pastors may preside over their congregation, but they are not by virtue of doing so its ultimate head. In God's mind, if for no other reason, then they generally inherit their members and do not necessarily often infrequently birth them into the kingdom. Like the pastor, the teacher mantle is activated once a learner has attached to them. Until then, the teacher, like the pastor, has nothing to do. With apostles and prophets, it is radically different. Their way began once the Lord speaks to them. These mantles are by divine initiative and not prior ministerial result. So me as a pastor, my pastorship came from prior ministerial result of the apostle and the prophet. It wouldn't be nobody the pastor. That is, apostle and prophet ministries are not dependent upon earthly ignition, but only on heavenly initiative. In these contexts, it triggers the work, and not merely a call. I hope I'm getting over on to you today. Let me kind of summarize and just talk to you a few minutes. Here's what we're gonna have to do. We're gonna have to restructure the whole setting. You're gonna have to listen to these impartations. And that's why I tell you, try to get to the meeting, see how I'm functioning, get a hold of this mastered on your life, that every church in the LTM, we've got 82, will become an apostolic church. And that's all they're saying. That's not an organization. We're not trying to start nothing. I only mentioned to you for impartation reasoning. The book of Acts was apostolic. The apostles was given direction the pastors caught on to their anointing. Those pastors listened to the Apostle Paul. So Paul and nobody said he never answered back and said, in Acts 20, pastor answered back and said, Paul, you don't tell me what the hell to do. I run my church as God told me. It's my church. No, it ain't your church. It's God's church. And so in dealing with now, I know I have Bishop Dan, Bishop Jim, and I probably have some more bishops on the line. We just got to call it what it is. You're going to the apostolic. You're going to a level where your anointing is going to function at a greater dimension. Many pastors on the line. I'm a pastor myself. We just got to understand the divine line of the ranks in God's army and begin to apply our ministry to that type of notion. But it's humanistic order that messed the whole thing up, and that's why the power hadn't been available as it should be. We want to reconstruct it and bring it back to restoration to God's original plan, and I believe we will do that. Like I said, now you're gonna have mercy on me. I'm learning as I go, but I'm not afraid. And some of the things you be listening to this thing over and over again, you be with your biblical background, go ahead on and study it. All right. Now, let me close with this. In Acts 15, verse 37-39, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. In other words, if somewhere John Mark wasn't paying attention and he wasn't submitting to the apostle, and the apostle said to Barnabas, he can't go with me no further. That will happen in this organization if you don't do what's right. I'll tell you right now. And the contention in the 39th verse was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas Mark and said unto Saul, I think Saul's one with Paul. In other words, it was something John Mark didn't do. He didn't with the work. He wasn't paying attention, won't do what he wanted to do. Paul said, you can't go. Now later on we find in 2 Timothy 4:11, he said, Bring Mark to me now. He probably had passed some tests. All right? Now, that's Acts 15-39, 2 Timothy 4:11. All right, John 6:6-69. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm just showing the illustration of how Jesus and Paul had people who depart from them. We have one of my MVBs resigned, Dr. Patrick Randolph. I received his resignation. He said he just resigned. Let me see how he said it. What did he say? He resigned for what?
He had personal for health reasons.
No. He ain't told me health reasons. He just told me he resigned. He resigned. Anyway, he's not an MVB anymore. That's the third MVB that I had to let go for different reasons, or left for a different reason. And because of some of these things that was not carried out and that I wasn't obeyed in some area, I think Dr. Randolph did wrong. He brought another apostle in his church. He didn't consult me. He should have consulted me so I could give some guideline. I don't want two heads trying to do something. The apostle he brought in, I know him. And it could have been easily passed by me, but it wasn't passed by me. And then there's some other things I was signed to do that he didn't do. He said he just wasn't doing it. I had a special meeting to call for him. He said he just wasn't coming. I don't want to put him down, but I did. I had to, by divine direction, that he don't need to come to my meeting. I don't want no more seed from him. Three men in my life. That was a man in my church used to play piano for me. And he crossed the spirit world, and he was coming up with money in his hand. And I told him, go back to your seat. I can't accept that. Another time, it was a graduation. We got a graduation coming up Thursday. The class had got a gift for me, and they were all excited, and they sent the wrong man with the gift. And when he headed up in the graduation, I said, well, class, I can't accept this gift. You sent the wrong man. Take it back. I think later I accepted it from somebody else. and this is the third time, because of Dr. Randolph not following my orders. I told y'all wear necktie, he wearing band longs. I knew all that. He's not following orders, and it's best that he not come among the meeting, and it's best that he send his seed to the other apostle where he's getting fed from. I can't accept no more his seed. Now, I'll do the same thing to you. See, because it's a privilege to sow. Now, hear me well. You can hear a lot of teaching on prosperity and finance, but I'm an apostle finance. So I got to watch. I'm not going to let nobody contaminate nobody else's seed. I'm especially money coming. I'm especially called for this message and this mission to the body of Christ. Now, they are rare. They are rare. You point me out some other financial apostles. They don't come every day. Not real anyway. And so I have to protect this gift, and I have to protect the people who are following me in the right way. All right. And then so I call now, since I had the MVBs to call Pastor Ricky White. I know him and Pastor Randolph was tight. Now, I had some church members one time left here, and I had some other church members, not many, a couple, kept fellowship with him. I walked up on him one time. You see, when a fellowship is broken, you cannot, when you associate with that broken fellowship, they're going to say something or do something somewhere down the line to cause you to go to thinking crazy. So the best thing to do is, if somebody come against your daddy or not with your daddy, why would you go bring them to your daddy's house or do things like that? So when they talk to Brother White, they say to me that he asked a question, because I want you all to come to tier meeting. I want you all to try to get to every meeting you can. He says, this is his statement. Is Apostle Thompson ministry greater than ours? Well, God no. I thought he knew that. That's a misunderstanding right there. So by him asking those kind of crazy questions, not understanding that what I'm trying to do, give my life to y'all, they dismiss him also. They're going to send him a letter of dismissal. So I have the other man that I'm going to put in place. I'm not calling his name out yet. But I have another man to make the 12. I don't know when I'm going to do it. I already have spoken to him. I had to talk to his wife. I used to talk to the man and his wife, because the 12s are very, very important, and their wives can't be crazy women. I mean, you got to talk to their wives. Know their wives. Their wives got to be balanced, because these guys do a lot of traveling. They do a lot of sacrificial stuff. And if that woman is not balanced, she's not going to even understand it. I know his wife is down at the one I'm going after, but I want to give her the respect and the honor and talk with her. She wasn't with him when I talked with her. On Thursday, we have the graduation. And I would, that you all sometimes, maybe not able to make this one sometimes, come to graduate. The school has been open 23 years. We have graduated 776 people. And this graduation, we have 107 that are going to graduate. We actually have an enrollment of 200-something in the class now, right? So we have 107 waiting to graduate next year, and then we're going to go on. So I'll preach this, go forth and make a mark that can't be erased. I'm going to preach an apostolic message on Thursday night, and sending them out with apostolic bullets or apostolic triggers, how to not only start off right, but to finish right. And I'll preach a little while on Thursday night to minister to them. I usually like to preach those when I'm sending them out to go forth. Now, if there are any question about what was said today, the 12 will be able to answer it. If they can't answer, they'll get to me. But it's a basically a basically upset. It's like a thin factor, it's uprooting. And that's what we got to do to restore, reorganize, refresh, replenish what God has called us to do. I'm real excited about it. I have to be bold enough. That's why I was up praying this morning, bold enough, because this is This is a breakdown of a structure, of a humanistic structure that's been going on a long time. So some church member will holler, some organization will holler, but it doesn't matter because you can't fight that which God has brought forth. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit has given us enlightenment about every correction, every direction, every insight that we took care of on this phone. I'd like to factor with those you have put under my care that they may be able to make changes as the changes are need to be made, that we all will walk in honor, honoring one another, respecting one another. And I thank you for every person on the sound of my voice this morning. And I pray, Father, that ministry, because of this divine order, because of the thing that you're teaching us, as we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostle and the prophet, as your word says so, that we get divine direction, supernatural instruction, supernatural impartation, power added to our anointing as apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, just add on to our anointing, that our anointing will mingle in the spirit world and become a rolling fireball, be rolled like a fireball and begin to burn the chaff and take in the wheat. God, we just thank you for the moment you have brought us through. We thank you. We don't want to hurt anybody, Father. We just want to keep divine, because if divine order fall out of place, then the satanic forces will win against our ministry. I bless every person on the sound of my voice, that not only their ministry, their bodies, their finances, that they may grow and develop and understand LTMA, what we're aiming to do, where we're aiming to go. No one, I say again, Father, let no one think nothing is being belittled. Everything is being put in place. We thank you so much. I bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, where I'm going to Thursday?
Graduation.
No, next Thursday.
Next Thursday is going to be Greensboro, North Carolina.
Pastor Maud Strong, she on the line. I'm going to church first time. She got a new church. Just got her a new building. And I know me and the 12 going in there. And we're looking forward to that meeting. You get a chance to make that meeting, come help us celebrate. She got her new church and everything. And we're going to grade on and bless it while we're there. God bless you. I'll talk with you when I see you in the meeting. I'll take this up. It's going to be about... might be the rest of the year we're going to be reconstructing these offices. I got a lot of material I'm investigating and studying, and so I got a lot more to bring to you to overlap what I taught this morning. We're overlapping and show it again, show it from another direction, show it from another direction. Let me read something to you right quick, Father Lord. In Ephesians 4:11, ministers, two barriers seriously impede the church pursuit of scripture divine order. They are a misunderstanding of the role, titles, offices, function, and gifting found in God's structure, and the fact that anything we have today remotely addresses the subject on a wide scale is either pastoral or evangelical or a blend of both. One more reading. Now, to discuss the last baston, B-S-T-I-O-N, against God's restoration of apostolic and prophetic authority over his church, that is the subject of titles of name, organization, and institution yield to those organized by their founders or authorities to act in his stead and by the power of his name. So I have stacks and stacks of stuff I'm studying, and I'll be studying from the day till I talk with you again, this material and information, pulling it, getting it ready, getting it in my heart, to make sure that scripture balance. And let me say this again now. Pastors, you will not be lilled. Bishops, you will not be lilled. But we've got to get everything in its right demarcation. Now, I remember reading that the Catholic Church, what happened is when the apostolic went off the scene and the prophetic went off the scene in understanding, that the Catholic Church said the 12 apostles was the last apostles. And what they did is took that apostolic order and institutionalized it into their ministry. That's why Well, why do you think the people got so much respect for the Pope? Some people be bowing down, kissing their feet, doing all kinds of things. Because they think that's apostolic order, and he's the head order in the church. But he's not. Even though he got millions of followers, they got plenty of money, but that doesn't mean that they're in divine order. And we need to know this. We need to understand this. We need to know that all our ranks and all our calling are very important in the eyes of God.
Thank you, Apostle Thompson. Just a few reminders. First tier meetings, we have July 6th through the 10th, 2015, will be camp meeting. November 9th through the 13th, 2015, will be prosperity revival. Also, we have some upcoming Supernatural Money Coming to You conferences. May 14th to 15th in Greensboro, North Carolina, with Pastor Mark Scroggins. For more information, you can go to eiwm.org. On May 28th and 29th, we'll be in Chicago, Illinois, with Pastor Marshall Davis. For more information on that, you can go to eiwm.org. Don't forget about your various circles with your MVB that you're having today. I think it would be very important for you to be on those calls to be able to reiterate and discuss the very important impartation that we've had this morning. I'm going to go through the roll call again of the MVB, and I will pause after each one to give those who might have gotten on the call after roll call a chance to acknowledge their presence and acknowledge roll call. First, it'll be the circuit in which I lead, Dr. Leroy Thompson, Jr.
Dr. Thompson, Oliver Mack.
Thank you, sir. Next, Dr. Montrell Thompson.
Dr. Leroy, Geraldine Raffew.
Thank you, ma'am.
Dr. Leroy.
Go ahead, sir.
Reginald Boswell.
Got it, sir. Thank you much. Pastor Joseph Brown.
Dr. Thompson, Pastor Warner, I'm on the call.
Thank you, sir. Dr. David Forbes Warner.
Dr. Thompson, this is Pastor Forbes. Kenneth Honore has a family member that was in the hospital. He did inform me of that as the call began. It happened just as the call started. He did contact. Thank you.
Bishop Jason Martin Circle.
Dr. Thompson, this is Lemuel Brown.
Thank you, sir.
Listen, I want to interrupt. This is pause again. If there was a question, or two or three questions, I'll go ahead and take the question right now about what I taught this morning to clarify it for you. No, because I know this is territory that we've got to come to a clear understanding with. I'll do my best to answer the question if you've got a question. If you're clear, fine. But if you have a question, let it rip. That mean we're clear?
Apostle Thompson?
Who is this?
This is Pastor Larry Dimas in Lubbock, Texas.
Yes.
Yes, sir. In your ongoing studies in this area, have you come across much information in regards to the prophetic side of God's governmental structure? And if so, when or where you might be sharing that information with us?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it in future sites. Right now, I'm just starting from the beginning, starting with the apostles, because that's the top rank. But yes, sir, I will be doing it. We'll have to do research for years in order to get this thing in right alignment, Pastor. And we'll get it in alignment. I sure will.
Thanks, sir.
Yes, sir.
Will now connect you to your call. Line muted.
Did y'all understand what we were saying about the apostles? Understand about the prophet, foundational? Understand about the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher? You understand that? I give scripture references that we can reread it and see from a different perspective
like the epistles of Paul to Timothy and to Titus. You know, I taught in a Bible college. I have two doctor's degrees. And we taught that as pastoral lessons, but we didn't explain where it came from because the Apostle Paul was teaching all the same at that time. So that's very clear to me, and it ought to be very clear to you. And another thing is, remember this, many of you on this line, I will never hurt you, but I will stop you if something's going wrong, because I made some correction on this phone call too, because people come in that don't understand what I stand for. I've had a lot of ministers under me in my church, and they know what I stand for. And I'll help you if you got a problem, but you don't try to sneak me. I've been in the street, I know street, and I know the realm of the spirit, and I know the church playing ground. And if that ever start happening, you know, that's why I curse here these 12 boys. I looked at them real close. I want to make sure they're doing right, they're living right, because I'm not going to put somebody over you who's not living right. So you know, I'm just open, wide open. Any more questions? I don't want you to leave my impartation saying I'm putting you down or I say the pastor, because I'm a pastor myself, but I'm just putting the divine order in place. And listen, it has to be done right. Like the pastor asked me the question, the apostle and the prophet has to have the right heart and the right understanding, not to dominate nobody, but to put them in the right direction if they want it. And that's what LTMA is all about. All right, Leroy, you probably have
Thank you, sir. I'll continue with the roll call for those that might have missed the first roll call. Dr. Marvin Moore Circle, anyone from that circle?
Yes, Mr. Thompson, this is Sandy Archangel.
Yeah, this is Pastor Coffee. I think you got me, Dr. Thompson.
Yes, sir. I got you, Pastor Archangel. I got you, Pastor Coffee.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So I'll take you in a minute. Let's see.
And Dr. Thompson?
Yes, sir.
Michael Grant, Pastor Michael Grant, he's on the line.
Got you, Pastor Moore, or Dr. Moore.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Let's see. Next is Dr. Jeffrey Phillips Circle. Anyone from that circle that missed roll call, you can answer now. All righty. Dr. Daniel Robertson.
Oh, the African County for?
Yes, sir. The ones that had it, not all of them accounted for.
Well, let's get them accounted for.
We will. Yes, sir.
Fine.
Dr. Kenneth Skelton.
Yeah, the Holloway.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. Thompson.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Pastor Marion Chandler up under Bishop Robertson. When I smashed the 4-star, my phone just went dead. So that's why I wasn't able to answer the first time.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Dr. Thompson.
Go right ahead.
This is Minister Regina Keller from Dr. Jeffrey Phillips, and I was on the call. I wasn't able to answer. I was in training, but I was on the line.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Dr.
This is Pastor Skelton.
Pastor Val, Valerie Tate, she's on the.
Got it, sir. Thank you much.
Dr. Thompson.
Go ahead, sir.
Pastor Cooper is on the call, too.
Got it, sir. Appreciate it. Dr. Ron Walker.
Dr. Thompson.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes. This is Pastor Earl Thomas. I was on the call.
Gotcha, sir.
Dr. Thompson, this is David Walker. I was on the call as well.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Carlos Williams.
Dr. Thompson, this is Pastor Claudette Ober. I wasn't sure if you guys heard that I was on the line also.
Thank you, ma'am. Gotcha. Gotcha noted.
This is Pastor Scroggins. I was on the line.
Thank you, ma'am.
Dr. Thompson?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Parker. Parker, I was on the line.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for letting me know. All right, if that's everybody. Everybody have a wonderful day. Don't forget about your various circles. I know some of you are meeting right after this impartation call, and the rest are meeting throughout the day. The next vision impartation call will be June the 2nd. It will be June the 2nd, 2015. Look forward to seeing some of you all at graduation. As a matter of fact, graduation will be online. So if you can't make it in person, it will be live online. And it'll be 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, Thursday, May 7th. All righty. Thank you so much for joining this morning's Vision Impartation Call. Give me about 30 to 45 minutes, and you'll receive a text with the recording from this morning.
Wait a minute now. What about them absentee? How y'all going to do that?
We have to call.
Each MVB going to call and find out about it. The one that do not have a excuse from,
mm-hmm.
they need to call them immediately and find out why they wasn't on the line. All right?
MVB, did we hit it, MVB?
Yes, sir.
Got it. Thank you, gentlemen. Everybody have a wonderful day. Thank you for being on this morning's Vision Impartation Call.